And we are back on Business Beat on 90.5 WICN. Giselle and I are joined by Fred Kalin from the Shine Initiative as we talk about mental health and what Shine does in schools and the programs you offer for teens and adults in working through and destigmatizing mental health. And before the break, we were talking about perspectives and gaining perspectives. And during the break, we talked about something quickly I want to mention here. In that, I read a study a couple of days ago. I'm a dog person. Everyone that listens to my shows knows because Pearl's always in the studio with us. But having a dog can reduce your stress by up to 32%. Going for a walk, and we talked about nature walk, getting outside, and just the benefits of focusing on something besides yourself when you take the dog out and do something like that.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's two things related to that, David. One is routines are really good for us. You know, I'm someone at a time who's been through, you know, periods of depression. And that's when you don't have the motivation to even get up and do the things that life just asks of you. Well, you can't not take your dog for the walk. You can't not feed your dog. And so routines are good. And also we know that doing anything that sort of, again, takes you outside of yourself. So you're not just living in your own thoughts and feelings, but caring for another being like your dog or caring for another person, you know, doing, you know, real, you know, charitable work, you know, giving back to others in a way that's authentic also has that similar kind of positive effect.
That point you made about routines, there's a great book in TED Talk called by Andrew Solomon called The Noonday Demon. And he talks at length about his depression, his battles of depression, and the thought of laying there and thinking, I really want a sandwich. I'm going to get something to eat. But then I have to get up and walk to the kitchen and get the bread out and get the stuff out of the fridge and make the sandwich and cut it. And I just don't want to bother. I'm going to roll over. And for anyone that's dealt with severe depression, I certainly have, as you have, that is a very real feeling that, oh my, those little things start to feel like monumental tasks. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, because especially for men, you don't want to talk about it with anybody. So you hide it and pretend that everything's okay. Or you try to pretend until you get to a point that you can't anymore. And people ask if you're okay, and you get annoyed and you push everyone away because I don't want to be asked about this. I just leave me alone.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, when I talked earlier about part of what we just say is that, you know, nothing good kind of lives in the dark. Nothing. I mean, we're called the Shine Initiative for, you know, exactly for that reason. But like, you know, Brene Brown's really well known for her work around shame and how the power goes away. And, you know, very related is that sense of, you know, sort of shame or stigma around, you know, like for me, you know, I'm a grown man. I'm good at my job. I'm a, you know, provider. I shouldn't feel this way.
Right.
Right. I do this work, but I still will have that moment of feeling like this is weakness that I shouldn't have or shouldn't admit to, except for the closest people in my life only, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the more we model that, the more we all just sort of model, like, it's okay. It's not that big of a deal. You know, and what young people need to know too, like when I first ever experienced these things as a young person, I would have loved to know, like a lot of people walk around and on certain days are experiencing similar things. And a few days later, it's easier to make that sandwich.
Yeah.
Right. Like you get to the other side and those kinds of things is a really helpful message, particularly for young people who might be experiencing it for the first time.
Yeah.
But also, like, these things, that's such a great example because those are things that even people that are not in severe depression deal with, right? The idea of having to get up and do something becomes this monumental task, and oftentimes it deters them from doing anything at all. And then it goes into the cycle of why I'm still here in the same spot. I still have these same issues, and then that kind of goes into back into their mental health and this imposter syndrome that they suffer from, and all of these other like massive, just complicated, you know, concepts of who they are. And it's because of that, because we don't have routine. I'm a big believer in that. I think David knows that. I'm always late. However,
That's part of the routine.
Part of my routine. See where I like Fred? That is part of my routine, guys. I'm always late, but always like right on time, if you know what I mean. But yeah, routine is a massive thing.
And as your co-host, worth waiting for.
Oh, isn't he sweet? But also because we're always looking for these things that are fictitious, motivation, and we're looking for inspiration. And I think oftentimes that leads to mental illness and mental unwellness also, because some of us might be in the creative sector. And I think those things tend to weigh down on creative people more than ever.
Yes.
And so people that are in that sector are like, oh, I'm really depressed. And it's like, well, when you start to talk about it, you're really realizing that it really isn't... there's a sense of depression. It's coming from just the societal pressures that are being put on them for being so great and, you know, looking for the motivation or the right time or inspiration. Yep. And then it's like what it really boils down to is creating a routine. Mm-hmm. Because I think that the routine can help you get out of almost anything that you are struggling, as long as it's within yourself almost. You know, you got to get out of bed if you have that routine. If you're walking your dog specific times of the day, that gets you out and gets you going. It just gets you to the next step.
The dog also gets out of routine too and knows if you're running late. The dog's like, buddy, you know. The dog will stare at you and kind of just like, all right, fine, I'll take it for what? Just stop. This is creeping me out.
Right. And I think, you know,
don't creep out, Pearl.
There's kind of two kinds of accountability. Yeah. There's negative accountability, which feels like pressure and it's, you know, bad if I don't do it.
Yeah.
And then there's positive accountability. Like if you've, you know, it's easier to do routines, especially new routines, if you're going to meet a friend to do it, right? Like we all know that, like working out, you know, taking up running for the first time, any of those kinds of things, if you're meeting a friend to do it, you're much more likely to not want to disappoint the other person. And so you both will do it.
That's a great point.
And that's where, you know, similarly, we say, you know, whether you need routine because you have ADHD and procrastination is the thing that gets you, or, you know, because it's depression or because it's anxiety or all these different things, they're interrelated, you know, mm-hmm. to your point, Giselle. And so when we can be able to talk within our circles about those things so that someone can say, oh, you know, I'll be your person who makes sure, you know, that we do this thing together, or even just a basic accountability, you know, for some really good therapists, it's just, okay, so, you know, you're going to start journaling and in 2 weeks, you're going to let me know if you did, you know,
that's right.
Those kinds of things.
Yep.
And there's positive accountability. We're big in our society on the negative accountability. If you don't, you will be punished or something right. bad will happen. You will lose your job. You'll get a, you know, F on your assignment, those kinds of things, which tend to just build for people. I hope I'm connecting the dots. I think I
am. Oh, no. If you guys can see us right now, we're really in tune.
It's cool, but it's true. It's in the positive side of that. You know, I remember as a kid, we're not far apart in age. If you read X number of books, you got a pizza party at Pizza Hut.
Right.
It's like, well,
those
all right.
were the best.
Yeah, I'm like, I was a reader anyway, so like, this is a no-brainer for me because I was a fat kid. I'm like, I read and I like, I'm fat. I want pizza. But for a lot of kids,
David and I would have been best friends.
We totally would have, but except I'm 14 years older than you are. But that notion, that positive reinforcement, that lure of like, okay, if you're not a reader, you struggle or you just don't enjoy it for whatever reason. But if I read X number of books, I'm going to get something positive in return for that. Okay, cool. I'm down for that stuff. And, you know, one of the things we talked about earlier and during the break that I want to make mention of, that accountability aspect you talked about, having someone, we don't want to let someone else down. When you're feeling low, and I've experienced this firsthand, when you're feeling low about yourself, about place in life, whatever it is that's really eating at you at that time, that's the perfect time to go and do something for someone else, because it will end up making you feel better. And you sort of, not only are you distracting yourself from what you're kind of stewing over, but that notion of turning yourself from the subject to the object, you're now making someone else the object. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, you tend to lift both parties.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So one thing I was going to ask you about, we had a guest on a few weeks ago from a company called Mightier. And Mightier is, it's a started at Children's Hospital, and it's a series of apps and video games that help kids learn to regulate their emotions. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with this?
I am familiar with it, yeah.
Okay. Yep. I'm curious, you know, it seems like between programs like Mightier and certainly all the efforts that Shine makes, especially with teens and kids, that for that next generation, they're getting, in childhood, in their developmental formative years, not only are they gaining the tools to deal with this stuff, but that destigmatization really is taking root early on. Is that accurate?
I think it's taking root early on more than ever before, and we also have a long way to go. Just in terms of, you know, it can really depend too on your context, on, you know, your background, whether it's okay to talk about, you know, among our teams, among kids who actively are part of our Mind Matters teams, we see many more young women than young men.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely a gendered aspect of it. You know, there's, you know, many other sort of nuances to stigma. So that's more and more Shine is focusing on, you know, how do you talk about stigma with the young people who are in front of you, taking into account what their reality is? And, you know, and, you know, we're in schools that are very rural, mm-hmm. and isolation in those schools are, you know, the places where kids, you know, will still drive tractors to school sometimes.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that was still a thing, and it is even in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And then also obviously, you know, with, you know, urban schools as well, and challenges that weigh on kids in different ways and anxieties, you know, that they have in different ways and everything in between, you know? And so, But I definitely would say that the young people we get in front of are more comfortable with these topics than many of the adults we get in front of. Yeah. So it is changing. And I think a lot of young people are leading the way.
I feel like that's always the case, right? The young people are always leading the way, whatever the conversation is. It's the youth that really rises above and tells everyone to stop and listen. Mm-hmm.
It's true. It's also because they aren't jaded yet the way we are as adults and haven't, you know, life hasn't beaten the ego out of them to that point, as happens to some of us. But it's true. But we need these kids to take the lead and show that it's okay. It's okay to be open and have these conversations, as difficult as these conversations might be. And in a group setting, it's a little, or I would say probably a lot more palatable to have these dialogues because it feels safe, to use the parlance of our times. You're in a safe space. It's okay to open up. And, you know, again, when we were growing up, if you wanted to spread a rumor about somebody, you had to write a note and fold it a very specific way and flick it across the floor and hope that nobody intercepted it, or your teacher didn't read it out loud and humiliate whoever was listed there. And now kids can pile on through social media, but they can also, the flip side of it is they can have positive group interactions that are, and have a virtual support group.
Yeah, and I think community big time is medicine, no matter how you put it. Community is medicine for sure.
It is. In the moments we have left, Fred, how can people get involved with the Shine Initiative?
So everything is on our website, shineinitiative.org. You know, if you want us to make, you know, come to your school, if you want to get involved as an adult, if you want to, you know, have your community have a, you know, webinar presentation for parents or caregivers. Also, we're doing more corporate trainings now than we ever did before, just in terms of young people leading the way. A recent statistic is that the Gen Z workforce, so the youngest people in our workforce, but who will quickly dominate the workforce, 81% of them are looking for employers who prioritize mental health. 81%.
Wow.
So even, you know, some CEOs and some big companies who may be of a generation that didn't pay that much attention to mental health, they're going to have to start to. And then there are other companies that really want to as well. But, you know, to have it, that's a huge percentage for one whole generation to say, anywhere I work, they've got to care about this.
Absolutely. This has been Business Beat on 90.5 WICN. Fred Kalin, thanks so much from the Shine Initiative, theshineinitiative.org. My name is David Ginsberg.
And I'm Giselle Vergara Flores.
Here's to good business.